session number 24902, reel 4.
John Rolat, Reel 4. Can you remember anything else about your time on patrol and career?
I can remember was all the ice, and there was an American, I think it was a destroyer, had got a wire cable wrapped around its propeller.
Where was that?
Off the Korean coast.
Can you be a bit more precise?
No, I can't remember exactly where it was. But I know we had sent a diver over, one of our divers, he went over. And he went over and went in the icy water and had to keep bringing him in and warming him up and putting him down again. But he eventually got it off and he got the BEM for that. Yeah, I won't remember that. And he's got a diving school in Gillingham there. And while I was working at the Shell, we had a small coaster come up to get fuel, and they just put all new rubbing strakes along this jetty, a brand new jetty, and he knocked 13 off. And when I went in the next day and I looked over, and there was Curly, he was sitting in a rowing boat. He was putting them back on. It's the first time I've seen him since Korea.
What did you and indeed other members of the crew do when you weren't on patrol, when you were in, for example, say Sasebo or somewhere?
Normally we used to go ashore and we used to buy presents to bring home, you know, the tea sets when you used to hold them up. It was like a photograph of a Japanese lady in it. That was our main things, and we used to go to the canteen. There was a very big, large canteen there, and a lot of the blokes used to go up and do the, you know, little shows. The old Scots boys used to go up and do the old sword dance, and there was one bloke we had two seamen on there. Then they was cousins, and they both used to play the piano accordion, and they used to get up there and play the old songs that we all used to sing. And another one we used to call him Banjo, because he played the banjo. And we was all in there one day, and we were all sitting, and we knew he was in there, so we'd all having a good old beer, and we're singing, "We want banjo, we want banjo," you know, and all the Japanese were laughing. We thought, "What are they laughing for?" And we said, "We want banjo," and they said, "What are you laughing for?" And they said, in Japanese, banjo means you want to go to the toilet. And I say that was mainly in there. Of course, we used to go to the local brothels. Of course, I mean, you ain't going to be out there 2 years and not go. We're all human.
What about activities on board during your free time? What was going on?
You didn't really get a lot of time in, most time, because you used to come in and you'd be in 2 days, that was all. That was ammunition and stores and oil and away, and it was more or less port watch ashore for one night, and then the next day starboard watch ashore, and then you'd be away the next day. So you didn't get along. The only time you got is when you come and you did stay about a week or something like that going. If that something had to be done, you know, any repairs or anything like that. But normally you didn't stay about too long. You was in and out again. And after time you'd be in there and you'd get a typhoon, and then we had to go out so we could sail, you know, ride that out. We did have a big, terrific typhoon which really hammered us.
Tell me about that.
That was Typhoon Ruth. We used to get a lot of typhoon, but that one, that was a real... It was 40-foot waves, and that smashed... We had big steel doors by the torpedo tubes, and that buckled them like cardboard. And we lost... All our Carly floats was washed away, and all the shells broke loose in the 6-inch magazines, and the 6-inch shells about that tall and about that round, and it all broken out of the racks, and then I was one to go down in the 6-inch magazine, and of course the ship was rolling, going right over like that, and when they all rolled to one side, there was all water down there as well, it was up to our knees in water, and we had to jump in, grab one, put it up on the rack, and then get up before they all rolled back again. You can just imagine all them 6-inch shells rolling. And then while we was down there, we had an officer down there with us. He'd put it in the rack, and then they'd lash it in, you know, because the lashings had broke. And the sim bosun come down to see if he could be of any help, you know. And the officer said to him, "I think you'd better go up on the deck, Padre, and pray that none of these go off, or you'll be meeting your boss sooner than you think." Because 6-inch shells just rolling, you know, from one side to the other. That was real terrible. We had a piano that got smashed up, and it was really, I think that's about the most frightening part of it, was that, because you wouldn't believe the seas. Never. The worst I've ever seen them at sea.
And how long did it last?
A couple of days and nights. And I think the Americans lost a destroyer, you know, it just ploughed through into a big wave, a 40-foot wave, and it just kept going. And we're supposed to go to try and assist the passenger ferry with about 300 people on board. But when we got there, there wasn't a no sign or nothing. You wouldn't have been able to do anything anyway, because, the weather was, you couldn't believe it unless you've seen it, terrible. And they reckon that when the Belfast got launched, just after it got launched, it hit a magnetic mine. And they put it in the dry dock for a year repairing it, and they put strengthened all along the side. And they reckon that if that hadn't have had that strengthening, that ship would have broke its back and would have gone down with all hands in that weather. Never believed the weather that was. You asked anybody on there about Typhoon Ruth.
Do you remember any sporting activities on board, or any theatrical activities or shows?
We used to have a boxing team, football team, cricket team, you name it, badminton, hockey, rugby, everything on there was sport. And they had quite good teams as well. Yeah, you could always, you know, go ashore for a game of football or whatever you liked, you know, could join in anything. Yeah, plenty of sport. And what was the other thing? It's just, shows, yeah. We used to have sods operas. We used to call them sods operas.
What does that stand for?
Well, it's just a Navy saying. But what it was, all the blokes used to have comedians. As I told you, we had banjo. We had a couple of cousins that played the old piano accordions. We had blokes who were staying up and saying jokes. We used to get blokes who used to dress up, you know, and they used to play the records, the Andrew sisters and that, and they'd all be dressed up, you know, as women singing, you know, with old song and like that. And it was fantastic, yeah. Sod's Opera was great.
And where would they be performed?
Oh, on the quarter deck. Yeah, on the quarter deck. Yeah, and they always used to look forward to them, you know, really good, yeah, marvellous.
Were there any professional shows put on for you?
Yeah, we did have High Hazel. I remember she came out, High Hazel, when we was in Hong Kong. I can remember her coming out. And when we was coming home, we went into Gibraltar, yeah. And they was making a film on there about some ship. And I've got it in my diary. I've got a diary in there, and they was making, and there was some film star come on with his little dog, And the lads took the dog up into the signal, up to the signalman's mess. Yeah, I can't remember what his name was. But yeah, we did see some. Yeah, used to come aboard.
Can you tell me about some of the traditions, naval traditions, which took place in the Belfast? For example, tell me about the rum ration.
Oh, the rum ration, top time, yeah, very nice. That's, you used to get your rum every day, your top. I mean, officers and petty officers all used to have neat rum, but the normal lads used to get two and one. That was a tot of rum and two of water, which was more or less half a pint glass of rum. And used to drink it straight down, lovely. And it used to make you all sleepy, nice. And that was it. That, the rum ration, was lovely. And we spliced the main brace, you got another lot, you know. And we used to like it when it was rough weather, because all the blokes that were seasick, they didn't want their rum, you know. And they all used to go... We used to call it the funnel mess, because it was nice and warm up by the funnel. And because if they was all feeling seasick, they used to go and sit up there, they'd get fresh air, you know, and it's warm. And because we used to come down, touch wood, I was never seasick. Because they didn't want their dinner either, you know, so we used to have big eats, and we used to have their rum as well, you know. Great, lovely. We used to like a bit of rough weather, you know, get the old extra tots. Because we could never save it, because you can't keep two and one. You can keep neat rum, but not two and one.
And were there any special traditions about the rum ration when it came to birthdays and things like that?
Oh, not at all. Yeah. If it's anybody's birthday, you used to put a jug on the end of the table, you know, and you'd say, well, it's old Bill's birthday today, you know. So, yeah, and then you'd tip a little drop of rum in. And then, you know... You all tipped a little, and more or less you'd get a jug of rum. And, gosh, they used to know it was his birthday. He'd go, go on in, and just drink it. And I remember once we was off the coast, and we was doing a run, and it was Ron Cook, I always remember, it was his birthday. And he was well away. And, gosh, normally, when you know, if it's your birthday, you get drunk, and they used to stick you in the oilskin locker. And just leave you there, you know, they don't say, well, we're saying so, oh, it's his birthday today, but obviously they don't say, oh, okay, then, you know, leave it. But because they had a crash action station, that's only my wife coming in, they had a crash action station, and because he was paralytic, wasn't he? And he was playing, you know, Abel Seaman Cook, report to your action station. And they said, he's drunk, you know, it's his birthday. And they said, they rung up the position and they said, well, if he can get to his action station, it'll be all right. So they cut the bloke's rash down quick, grabbed him, stuck him in the shower with the cold water, and took him up naked and just stuck him in the seat. And, you know, they said, that Abel Seaman's got closed up. And they said, right, he got away with it, but he'd be paralytic.
Traditions on board?
Well, we always, on the traditions on there, we always used to have church service in the mornings, you know. Always used to have prayers and that. And they always stick to that.
About Sunday divisions?
Divisions, Sunday divisions, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, get your best clothes on and get in there, get inspected, yeah. And have your hymns and that, yeah, Sunday divisions. Sometimes you get a recommend, they come along and they're so very good, you know, or you walk past and that man's dirty collar and things like that, or his lanyard's dirty. You know. Get a kit mustered in.
What did that mean?
Well, you had to get all your kit, and of course you had to lay it all out as it's laid out in the seamanship manual. And it all had to be laid out, and it all had to be... If that was the seamanship manual, your kit had to be rolled up that way, that wide, and then there you had to have two strings there, that width apart, so it was all laid out and everything. And then he'd come along and inspect it.
Who would do that?
Well, the captain. And if he didn't like it, he'd have to do it again. Yeah, it didn't like kit masters, but they do that just to make sure you've got all your kit, you know. And if you hadn't got, if something missing, then you know you was in the rattle. You had to pay for it. You must always have all your kit. I used to dread kit masters. Mm.
Did you get a few?
I think I got one. I think I got one kit master. I forget what it was for, but I used to be all right with my kit.
What was discipline like in general in Belfast?
Pretty good, really. You know, more or less the only time you got weighed off if you come off drunk, you know. Or, if, you know, that was the main one. Or if you went adrift, you know, if you didn't come back. Which we had, you know, a few of them done there. We even had two stokers that was weighed off for being absent without leave. We went into Sasebo and they went ashore and then didn't come back. They went up in the hills with the girls. And of course, when they came back, they was in the canteen and the blokes come back and reported them because they wasn't there doing their job. You had to do your job and them as well. You had to cover for them. So they dropped them in it and the patrol went ashore and got them brought back. Put them in the cells, they got weighed off. There was a marine guard in them. And they got talking to the marine, like, and in the end, the marine let them out, and because they went down and got down on one of the motorboats, took that, and went ashore, the three of them. But they caught them. I think, I don't know what happened to the sailors, because I know when we got to Singapore, they got sent to the army detention centre. But I don't know what happened to the marine. Oh my God, wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't shot. But that's what they done and left the motorboat up on the beach.
Any other incidents that you can remember?
Oh, another one of my old mates, old Charlie. He'd come off drunk and they...
Charlie who? Remember that?
No. Can't ring him, Crane, Punchy Crane, because he used to be a boxer on there, Punchy Crane. And he come off adrift and they put him, because the cells were full up, they put him in an ammunition locker up on by the 4-inch guns, you know. And because he was in there and they had a sentry on the gate, on the door, and we was in Sasebo and he said he loved strawberries, so when they went ashore, some of the lads, you know, they bought him some strawberries and come back and give them to him. And of course, then he was ill. And of course, they took him in the sick bay and they were trying to work out what was wrong with him, you know. And they couldn't work out what was wrong with him. In the end, they found out what it was. It was these strawberries he's had, and they was trying to work out why he had these symptoms, because we hadn't had strawberries on the menu or anything, and hadn't been ashore because the lads had given him the strawberries, and because the old, you know, medical, you know, officer, he couldn't work out what was wrong with him, you know, because he was allergic to strawberries, apparently. Yeah.
When you say you went adrift, you didn't come back with the last boat or something?
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is when you go adrift. But another incident, which they'll all tell you, I call it the Sasebo incident. We was coming back, well, we was ashore in Sasebo, me and Ronnie Paul and another Rosie. And we was coming back to the ship in Sasebo and the air raid siren went off. And we thought, oh, the air raid siren, you know. So we kept walking. And next thing, an American Jeep pulled up, and all these American, we call them snowdrops, they had white helmets, they all jumped out and said, right, get undercover, get down the shelter. And we said, what are you talking about? They said, there's an air raid on. It's an exercise. So we said, well, we're going back to the ship, we've got to get back to the ship. And they said, no, you've got to get in here, HLs. And we said, no, we've got to get back to the ship. And then the next thing, they got the guns out and they said, get down the shelter. So, right, that's it. So we went, got down to the air raid shelter, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, the voice shouts out, any Belfast down there? And we shouted out, yeah. And they kind of, what the hell are you doing down there? You know, I said, well, we brought down here at gunpoint. So what, he really strips them off. Really give them a stripping down, you know. He said, these lads have just come back from Korea, you know, what are you doing here? And they said, they've got to get back to the ship. We're sailing for Korea again in about midnight. So we come out, and going back to the ship, and all the American boats that was taking the Liberty men back, they was all stopped in the harbour, still got the steaming lights on, but they was all sat there. And as we were sailing back, we was all singing, you know, and they was all waiting there. And when we got back there, we circled round, you know, to come alongside, and we was all singing, right? They told the gunnery officer was on the gangway, and he said, silence in the boat. We still kept singing, you know. And he said, right, round again, coxswain. So the coxswain, the American, he had to take us right round the boat, come back again. And as we left, because we used to call him Dolly Gray, Lieutenant Gray. And we was all singing, goodbye, Dolly, we must leave you, you know. And when we came round again, we was all singing, here we are again, you know, happy as could be. And he said, round again, coxswain. So away he went, goodbye, Dolly. Here we are again. He said, round again, coxswain. He said, if you want them to go round, he said, you better come and goddamn take them yourself, because I ain't. And he come alongside. Once you walk up that gangway, you get to the top, you sober up, don't you? And they just search you and see if you've got any drink, you know, any whiskey or anything like that. And they said, right, get forward and get your heads down. And that was it. But that was the Sasebo incident.
Were you often searched to see if you had alcohol on you when you've been on shore leave?
Depends, you know, if you was coming off, and of course you got nowhere to hide it, really, you know, because you've got a skin tight suit, you know, sailors anyway. I mean, petty officer, you know, or stewards, if they've got like jackets, you could hide a bottle of whiskey or something in there, but not a sailor suit, because everything's all skin tight. If you've got a bottle of beer or something stuck in there, it'd stick out like a sore thumb, wouldn't it? You couldn't do it in the sailors, but the others possibly could, but not often.
Any other story about the ship's company during your time in the Belfast?
I can't think of any at the moment, but I suppose if I had time to think, I could think of something. But that was the main one. I can run another little incident. When we first got to Sasebo, all the Americans and the Canadians and all the Allies, all that too, was all on the same jetty waiting for the Libby boats. And of course there was loads of Americans there, and they was always at the end and we was always at the back. So we was all there waiting there one night, and we all started looking at each other and we was going, yo heave-ho, yo heave-ho. And then we was just taking the pace forward every time like that and pushing, you know, and it was Canadians and Australians. And all the Americans was all falling off the end of the jetty, weren't they? We were just pushing them all off like that, right down. And after that, we had our own jetty for the British and, you know, the Australians, the Canadians and all that to leave, because that's what we done, pushed them all off the end of the jetty. Not very nice, was it?
Who was in charge of the Liberty boat?
Well, the Liberty boat used to just have a sailor, a leading seaman, coxswain.
And was it a boat from your ship, or was it?
Yeah. We had our own pinnaces and motorboat that used to take the Liberty men ashore. But sometimes the Americans used to give us a small landing craft, you know, could get more in that, you know. But he didn't like that, keep going round. And another one we came on there, first one we ever had. They sent this American landing craft, which used to take us ashore, because he came up and he didn't know. He went and sat in the gun room. Well, that was sacrilege, you know, in the officer's quarters. And he was sitting in, well, he was sat back with his feet up on the settee in there. And because this officer walked in, God, he nearly had a heart attack. You know, what are you, get out, you know, God damn, what's the matter? Get out, you know. And they sent him up into our mess. They put him up, and because it was rum time. And they saying, what's saying? I said, no, it's rum, you know, want to. Oh, that's so, and the next thing, he was flat out, wasn't he? They was piping him to take this blinking landing craft away, you know, and he was under the table.
Do you remember anything about any of the officers on board or the captain? What was your memories of
him? He was alright. We used to call him Strawberry. It's Sir Aubrey Sinclair Ford Bart. He's a smashing old skipper, he was. But he left.